Tonight on the Dudes and Dads podcast, we're talking with our friend Joel Miller, another Joel, about maintaining relationships with your adult kids. Joel.
Andrew.
Joel DeMott. I should specify that. There's two Joels tonight.
So much Joel in this room.
There's more Joel in this room than I've ever been a part of.
Wow. That's a lot of Joel. Andy, how are you doing?
Good. Warm. It was a busy weekend. We spent some time with my family.
But yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're here recording and
we're doing this. We've been on the baseball trail these past few days and got some wins, got some losses. But at the end of the day, had the opportunity to sit out in 95 degree heat with other parents cheering our children on. What could be better? What could be better? I could think of a few things, but nevertheless, it was a fun time. And now we're approaching the 4th of July.
Already. It's almost my birthday month is in July.
Let's remember that.
And so I'm going to claim that all month. I'm going to be like, hey guys, it's my birthday month.
Let's go. Let's do the birthday month. When you're in middle age, I think you should just spread that out to a month.
I'm going to.
Why limit it to a single day?
Absolutely. Well, welcome.
Well, hey, yes. Tonight, Andy, really excited to talk with our friend, the other Joel. Joel number one for some people, Joel number two for others.
Well, I mean, he is older than you are. So
he did come. He
came first.
He did come first. That's true. He existed before I did quite some time.
Wow. He just called you old.
I didn't say that. It was a spell. There was a significant amount of time passed before the second Joel came around. But we are looking forward to a conversation. I always love it when we get to have, we always say on the show, we want to share our friends with the rest of our friends, our listening audience, and Joel's a good friend. And we're going to say whether he is or not, he's a longtime supporter of the show. We're just going to we're going to say that. Absolutely. But hey, everybody, we always want to say a big thank you to our supporters. That includes our friends over at Everence Financial. Support for our show comes from Everence. They're dedicated to helping to make Medicare an easy step through free educational seminars and individual consultations. Learn more at everence.com/Medicare-Monday. Securities offered through Concourse Financial Group Securities Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC.
Awesome. Well, Joel, welcome to the show.
Hi, Joel.
Thank you. It is an honor to be here with you guys.
That's good.
Even if he insulted you a minute ago.
I don't think it was an insult. I think it was a chronologically accurate statement.
I think we need to go out and race. I'll take you on.
He'd win. He'd win in short and long distance. Which reminds me, are you on the road? You running? You doing this?
Once in a while, I do run.
Yeah. He's a serious runner. You can tell all serious runners by their shoes. Actually, and I've seen his shoes.
I'm not a runner.
Not a runner.
I run, but I'm not a runner. There's a big difference.
Oh, okay.
Tell us the difference.
Well, I love to eat, so therefore I run.
Got it.
So you're not good at it.
You're an eater who runs.
So I have the shoes and it looks like a certain way, but if you'd actually see me run, you'd probably think differently.
Okay. Well, don't ruin the illusion for me, Joel. As far as I'm concerned, I've seen you preparing to run. I've not seen you physically run, but preparing to run, you looked the part. And so in my mind,
well, years ago, my daughter actually biked beside me while I ran.
Yeah.
And she looked over at me and she said, "Dad, you must love to run."
Oh. Okay.
And that's when I said, "No, I love to eat."
Got it. And then you run, run as a result of that. That makes sense. Yeah. So, Joel, the reason we have you on the show is, it's several fold. Number one, we like, again, sharing our friends with our other friends, good life stories. You're at this interesting stage, of life with these, we'll call them still, I think they're young adults.
Let's do dudes, our dad's dads.
Yeah,
first.
Yeah, let's do
so
that.
So tell us a little bit about you, yourself, your family, how long have you been married? How many kids you have the basics.
All the stuff you want out on the internet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I come from a family of five of us kids.
Oh yeah.
I have two brothers and two sisters. One of those brothers is a twin brother, Jeff.
Yes.
And so I'm the youngest and I'm the youngest of the twins.
Mm.
Dead last.
Wow.
But I have been married to Angela, who only has one sister.
Yes.
So it's a different dichotomy in families.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
For 33 years.
33 years.
I knew that was coming when I dropped that one out.
Goodness gracious. Congratulations.
Keeping with threes, I have three kids.
That's good. Okay.
Three, three, three.
Three, three, three. Run us through the children. How old are they? And well, they've got some of them. Well, one of them has a family of their own.
Okay. And the other one has a podcast, dreams to be a podcaster herself.
Yes. So tell us all about them.
So starting with the oldest is Bryce, and he is 27.
27.
Yeah. He's been married to Darla for about four, almost going 5 years.
Yeah. I'm going to say five.
But they have brought us our first grandchild.
Sweet.
4 months old, Coulter.
Yes.
Been a great new thing in our lives that we've enjoyed.
That's awesome.
And then I have another son in the middle is Dustin, and he is currently trying to finish up architecture at Ball State, doing a great job.
Awesome.
Really impressed with the stuff he does, 3D printing and all that. A lot of fun.
Crazy stuff.
Seeing new technology.
Yeah.
And then Mariah, who finished up at EMU last year.
Eastern Mennonite University, for those outside
Eastern Mennonite University circles. In Virginia. And actually this past year has been driving around in a van down by the river.
Thank you. I'm glad we got to say it. I was wondering if
actually,
it was going to
happen. Actually, her first spot was Virginia, and she had her van parked down by the river at a friend of my house, Eric Beck.
Did she get the reference? Have you shared the video with her? Because the kids these days, they don't know the power of the Chris Farley van down by the river. Mariah, if you haven't seen it, you need to, because it'll offer special significance to what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, those are the three kids.
Yes.
That's kind of where they're at.
Yeah. So we go back, and I think of, and I should say full disclosure. So just for context, Mariah, I've had all three of Joel's kids as a youth pastor. So I met them in their,
so you are
their
young, old.
I am.
Oh.
Thank you. Yes. Mariah was in eighth grade when I started my role as their, as a youth pastor here at Clinton Frames. So I have also seen them grow up over the last decade. Well, that it's been a decade, and they've all taken very, as kids do, because you're like, we raised them all in the same house, but boy, oh boy, are they different. Right.
I think
your kids are a fantastic example of like different interests, different personalities, like all of that.
You know, one thing we did pretty on, Angel and I, is we really wanted to allow them to have their own interests, and we could pigeonhole them pretty much and say, well, you know, you're all good at basketball, we're going to have you do that. But we really gave an open door for whatever you want to do. Don't feel like you need to do what makes mom and dad happy. And, so we tried to focus on that as much as we could for their sake.
Yeah. And
they went all different places.
Boy, they did. So Bryce graduates high school and he says, mom, dad, here's what I'm doing. What was his first launching out from the nest?
You know, Bryce was focused on agriculture. Mm-hmm. He's a farmer and he really enjoyed it. He finished up at Fairfield and actually got into the program at Purdue, was really excited. He worked hard at getting into the program and started his first semester at Purdue. Certainly excited about it, but very adult. He's always hung around adults. He's an old soul.
Yeah.
But he came home after, I think it was his first semester, and he sat down on the couch and he looked at Angela and I, and he just said, you know, we've been at Purdue, and he was at the farmhouse fraternity she had gotten into. Yeah. And he just said, you're not going to like, and I'm not going to like the boy that comes out of here in four years if I stay.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Now mom and I wanted college to be
sure.
And we really tried to push him. But if you have a young adult son, child that comes in and can recognize the push that he's getting and is not comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get out.
Yeah.
You got to bless that.
Yeah.
And be grateful.
Yeah. Because he was studying ag sales, right?
Yes.
And so again, everything, I mean, on paper aligns, like has these passions in the agricultural industry. I mean, the kid could sell,
ice
to an Eskimo, like very much the right personality for that.
It was his dream, and he knew he was giving that up, but he also knew that that wasn't a path for him. And you know, it goes back to something that Angela and I worked on really young before we even had kids. We went through a parenting class kind of with my brothers and sisters. We were all together, And one of the things they really talked about was implanting the morals into their moral warehouse. Mm-hmm. That you do that young and they'll grasp it eventually. Mm. Might not always
sure.
see it.
Sure.
And I think for us, that was one of those moments that, you know what? They're doing what we prayed about before he was born.
Yeah.
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 As much as we dream and want him to go to college.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not feeling it.
Yeah.
Well, because of that.
Right. And I think as a parent, you go, okay, I'm super glad that he recognized the fact that, like, not only are you guys not going to like it if he stays, but he's not going to like it. Like that takes adult like processing to I mean, I know a lot yeah. of adults that can't even do that.
Yeah.
And for him right. to do that and recognize that right away, like that was great.
While it was a tough moment, it was a really good mm-hmm. moment.
Okay, so Bryce tells you this. You have the come to Jesus conversation in the living room. We're sitting down on the couch. What's the conversation you and Angela have after that? Because I know there's probably a talk after the talk. What are the feelings? What are the concerns? What are the hopes following that conversation?
You know, it's really interesting. We immediately go to what we think needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing we start to recognize as our kids get older, they don't always align with what we think.
Sure.
We're so focused on that. We got to get an education. Mm-hmm. And that was part of that conversation. It was really important. It's been important, in both of our families. And we also look as parents to the future and family business and
yeah.
understand there's sometimes, you know, requirements and things like, oh, you don't want to just let this go. Mm-hmm. But the thing that is really hard as a parent to continue to focus on is what is eternal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what just isn't. What yeah. is what everyone around us is going to think. Mm-hmm. That's what we're worried about. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're going to focus on and we're going to make decisions based off of?
Yeah.
Or is it what's going to be best for the heart of your child?
Yeah.
And that becomes very difficult. So that conversation was, I'm going to be honest, was a little less the heart of the child and,
yeah, sure.
and more of, well, you know, we gotta give him the best advantage that he's mm-hmm. going to have in life.
Yeah.
And we get too focused on that. And that's what, unfortunately, probably was our pushing conversation.
We on this show, I mean, the mantra we hear is we're worried about making sure our kids don't end up living under a bridge, right? Like we have this kind of like worst
or a van down by the river.
Or a van down by the river. I don't know. Yeah.
I just right. want to retire on one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Architects do really well. Yeah. So no.
Yeah. We're
no
holding pressure. Out.
Yeah. Man. We're holding out. No. I would imagine in my mind, because I've already been there in my mind, you know, my kids aren't even graduated from high school yet, of kind of this like, okay, if they don't do this, then this is going to happen. And then this, and then, oh my gosh, how will, I think it's easy to kind of be catastrophic about the whole thing yeah. really, 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 really quick. And we love our kids so much and we want to see them succeed. And we think, I mean, I like to think I know the best of my kids. Like I think I've got a pretty decent idea, not fully, but like what they're capable of. And I have a high view of that. We should all as parents, mm-hmm. like we all should be like, yeah, my kid can do amazing things if they put their mind to it. Right. That's I think a really great mentality to have. So I'm wondering then, following all of that, how, because it's clear to me that you guys decided to support, again, you kept your support. You said, hey, we're one way or the other, we're in your corner, Bryce. So then what was it that you did to support, like coming back on the back after that, probably after you took a deep breath and maybe had a couple cry sessions and prayed a lot and did all of that, then what was coming when you came back to him? What was the step?
Sure. You know, and the way I think we turned our conversation too was, you know, from the beginning, we've said, let's allow them to do mm-hmm. what their heart desires and wants them to do, as long as it's,
right.
you know, in some
sure.
order.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, that was back in with sports they're picking and now it's life.
Yeah.
So we're going to follow that same path. And we told Bryce, you know, he told us what he was looking to do in possibly going out west and, yep. you know, farming was still a thing. And so we actually worked with some of the people we knew, even in this church,
yeah.
To get a connection for him to be able to do that.
Yep.
So we accepted it and we dug in and worked together
yep.
on finding his next adventure
yep.
That one was in Colorado.
Yeah.
He gets connections as well, but we said, yeah, let's do that. We helped him move out. We physically did the things that made it possible for him to be able to make that trip and move away.
Yeah. And he was in, you know, there's parts of Colorado. I mean, I've only been to certain parts of Colorado because of where my family lives out there. I would say the part of Colorado he was in, call it the trails less driven. Remote rural is almost an understatement.
You know, we tried to take a motorhome out to his house to visit him.
I remember this.
That motorhome has never been the same. He lived on such dirt roads that every time we had to pull a car, we pulled behind. Every time we went out to town and back, we had flat tires. His nearest neighbor was literally 6.5 miles away. Like, he was by himself.
It's hard to wrap
your
brain.
Little hard on a parent.
Yeah.
You go, man, you're out here by yourself.
Yep.
And a child, you know, like you're saying, you know your child's strengths, their weaknesses, and you know that he needs to have
people.
Mm-hmm. What a growing experience for him. But we went out with Angela's mom and sister and a whole gang of us, stayed a week with him out there, but saw what he was living in. It is shooting rattlesnakes and go to town to talk to people. Yeah. He said he could go to church on Sunday, and by Wednesday I had to go into town and talk to people. Cows didn't talk back very well.
That's right. That's right.
What an experience, though. That's
probably a little bit hard to keep in communication with him also, too, because he probably doesn't have a whole lot of internet out there, maybe not even good cell phone service. So it's hard to keep good conversations with
FaceTime
him.
FaceTime was not really.
Yeah, right. So fast forward for him, because you still got two other children I want to make sure we talk about. But typical firstborn gets the intro conversation. that's how that goes. So fast forward a little bit. Bryce finds himself a woman.
Yes.
A quality young lady. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness that you pray for that long before.
That's right.
And
that's right.
That prayer is answered. Yes. What a blessing.
Yeah,
it is.
And then that, obviously, as it does, that starts shaping the next direction of life. So they end up moving, and I've probably lost track of the number of places that they went or where they were moving.
They went a bunch of places.
But yeah, so that kind of was a marriage, and then kind of next chapter. What does he end up doing, and how in that process, how were you guys walking alongside?
You know, it's interesting. They got married. They were here for just a little bit and decided to move to Montana.
As one does.
A friend from, you know, Fairfield to high school, whatever, and got a job working on a farm again, agriculture, which is where his heart's at. So, you know, we want to support that. And usually support means moving somebody. Colorado wasn't far enough. we're going to haul it out to Montana.
Yeah.
So, you know, we enjoy being with them. Hopefully they enjoy being with us too, but it gets to be a lot of time. And so we moved them out there. We were also able to go out. Spend a week at a time with them, which was great when it's one-on-one with your kids at that older age, you're able to do that and share experiences together, get to know both of them. And for them to be away and build that life, maybe out from under mom and dad is just huge. Whether it's, you know, her mom and dad or his, it's really, I think, a good marriage experience. You can't always require that, but to do it on your own, count on each other, rely on each other, and you can't go back and just go back to mom and dad's. You're annoying me. I'm out.
Yeah.
You got to be together. I think it was good for them.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
And hard on us.
Yeah. And so from Montana to then
North Dakota.
I'm missing a state.
North Dakota. I think they might have made that move without us.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Not that we didn't support it.
Yes.
But you just didn't need to go out and make the move.
You didn't get roped in. Okay.
We're not coming out again.
Yeah. Tennessee.
Yep. Like Bryce, bought a truck from a guy in Tennessee and ended up working for him.
I'm telling you.
And he was a podcaster. Well, no, he's a, what would you call that?
A YouTuber.
YouTuber. So sorry. Yeah, yeah. Show my age right
there.
Okay. That was for you.
It's okay.
Joel.
Thanks. Thank you.
So I spent a lot of time on YouTube as well as fixing trucks and working on trucks, another passion. And, and I, you know, you love to see your kids just follow their passion. And be able to do that. Some folks aren't in a position or a place to do that, or their parents won't allow them. And like, hey, let's do that while you can, while you're young, for sure. And you never know what you hit. That's the risk you take. Because if they really love it and hit it, they might not come home. It's their home then.
And it, I think it's easy, even maybe subconsciously, because I know parents that have done this, and I'm just trying hard not to myself, where you can kind of sabotage your kids' opportunities a little bit, right? to make sure that they stay close and that they, you know, and I think for us in this area, like where we live, it feels like many of us go away for a time, but we always end up back here. There's, I mean, this is in our culture. It's very like the home, the family, your biological family and all of that are really, really important. And just being part of a family and coming back to a family is important, especially when you when you're raising kids. And you want like for Jackie and I know for y'all as well, like having grandparents nearby has been a big determining factor, right? In the decisions we've made. So,
you know, it's interesting that Bryce and Darla found good friends, a really good church, especially in Tennessee, that they felt really comfortable with, and hard to leave.
Yeah.
But that true friendship of the people that are here.
Yep.
I mean, family's important too, but I think also friendships, there's something about the area, the Bible Belt, whatever. It can be a bit different. And they learn that on their own is so much better than us trying to tell. And hopefully they have that desire come out in their heart. Sometimes it doesn't, but we're fortunate. You know, when they wanted to have kids, I think they felt like they wanted to be here with family, which.
So now they're here.
Which is good for you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So now they're here. You get the grandchild nice and near, which is a really fun thing.
For sure.
And now I think, you know, when you look back, we can't always, you know, it's easy to Monday morning quarterback with Bryce's, with all those things that came back. Do you feel like if you give yourself a scorecard and you kind of look back and you say, yeah, I think we made the right choices, even if we didn't know we were making, maybe we met the right time. I mean, would there be things that you would say, like, I would have changed this a little bit, or maybe a posture of heart that you had or a perspective that you had?
Yeah. You know, we can't tell what would have happened. There are things you think, well, I wonder if I would have pushed here, would that have made a difference? Yeah. But as far as changing how we supported Bryce in the decisions that he was making, you know, I think Angela might answer that differently than me.
Well, Angela, we'll have you on a separate episode.
Right.
Yeah, I'll be
but,
good.
It'd be interesting to see how he answers that.
Yeah.
You know, because we have a perspective that we think, And we have a good relationship.
Yep.
And so there's some of those things that say, couldn't have been all bad.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes to be intimate enough to understand some of the things you've either said or did that may have either hurt or helped in those situations. And you will find those out later, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's not something that guys necessarily talk about.
Sure.
I think sometimes a daughter and a mom might get closer to that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work pretty hard if we get into an intimate relationship of knowing, you know, could we have supported you differently? What would you have wanted us to do?
And I wonder, like, and this is fresh off of my brother and I having a conversation recently. My brother will be 40, I'm 41, and we're just now talking about, like, maybe how we're doing things a little bit different than our parents, but you know, here we are, we both have four kids and we're just now having the conversation where we feel like we have some element of perspective on what we really appreciated about how our parents did or, and then how we would do it different. So even now, like there's still a lot of life to live before I think you can even be like, here's how we're making maybe some new paths. You know, it takes time.
One big thing. Personally, that I would change if I could. It's a bit of who I am and a personality. I'm extremely driven. And when good things happen, I'm grateful, but I see what needs to still be done.
Yeah.
And I don't celebrate.
Yeah. There we go.
I don't celebrate. And I don't say, I'm so proud of you here. Because I see what we have to do. I'm focused on what we have to do yet, not what we've gotten done. And I do it in life, and I'm now conscious of it more. But if I could have been better at celebrating, we know we all want the approval of our fathers. Are we holding back the approval of our kids? Are we actually telling them how proud we are of them? Because we're afraid if we tell them how proud we are, they won't go to that degree. Come on.
Guilty.
I just wish it was. I wasn't that driven. Or that I could focus on how proud I am of my kids. All of them. And it doesn't come out easy because I'm afraid they're not going to be driven or something. That's my big.
That's good.
Wish I would have been different.
Son number two, Dustin, to not overly summarize, but Dustin, very, I mean, as you said, architectural school now, performing arts, like very gifted in those areas. I remember like school plays and things like this. And that was a bit of an, I mean, that's a bit of an intersecting point for you guys as well. I think back to like, you know, your days of putting on productions and things like that and being involved in that, which this is, I don't know if everybody thinks when they think of Joel Miller, I don't know if everybody thinks of this, but they're like, there's a creative side in your family that like sort of comes alive. Talk to me about how you guys intersected in those places and kind of how, as Dustin is finding his way in the world. Cause again, all of our kids are so different. It feels like a little bit like parenting whiplash sometimes when you're like I got a right brain kid over here, a left brain kid over here. One who's, you know, more concrete, one who's more abstract, you know, cause just like me, like, man, the difference between one and two is considerable. How'd you adjust? How'd you find the place to meet him?
Really good question. I think like you say with Bryce, a lot of folks viewed us and like, oh, it's like a little mini me. He followed me around and did everything I did. Dustin is super intelligent, lots of reading, and was who he was, not necessarily a duplicate of me, which is great. No problem with it. But when the middle child hears that, it can be maybe interpreted a different way. And I think he heard a lot about sports accolades and whatever else for me, and had very much a good athlete, as well as very interested in arts and music and, you know, play guitar. I've loved singing, president of the choir in high school. So I've enjoyed those things, although I don't think he heard a lot of that. And so I think he felt maybe a little different, but we loved it. We supported it in every way. And I think he doesn't see that maybe in Bryce or myself as much, but my mom and super music, you know, Anita was the worship team. Leader here for 20 years. My extended family, mom's siblings, super talented. He fits right in with those, which, you know, for me, when we would go to family gatherings, I'm like, here's Dustin. Here's mine. Just love the arts and just has a talent and ability to just pick it up so fast. Was super and yet athletic too. I remember I tried to run with him one time and we were getting over to the S curves and I always, you know, I'm proud that I can kind of keep the same speed on the S curves. He was like a gazelle. It's just gone. And I'm like, for those, it didn't even look like he was trying.
For those out of our immediate listening audience, my hometown, Joel's hometown of Middlebury, we've got this lovely S-curve road up I mean, it's a hill. A significant grade for a it significant amount of time.
For us in Indiana,
Look, it's like, guys, when we have a valley, any sort of valley, and there can be a hill, we could take great pride in it. But that's, to truck up that thing is no small thing. So,
But, you know, hindsight with us, and I think, too, that pushing and that maybe not giving him what maybe he needs and saying that dad's proud of you was probably more of a gap for him and more difficult. And, you know, we don't know what all happens to our kids when they're younger. And we assume we can fill in the blank because we're so smart. What it is and what it's going to do and what they're going to do. And we don't, and we don't know that sometimes till it's too late. And I think that's probably one of those with Dustin. But just loving And Dustin, we had a difficult situation with Dustin, and life was not easy for him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we necessarily recognize that, but there became a point where, you know, I'm looking at this percentage up here,
yeah,
and I'm pushing, and I had to decide, and Angela too, we're not going to focus on this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure our kid knows that he's loved unconditionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm just not sure.
Yep.
And of all things, that's number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
We've got to allow him to know, like, God loves me unconditionally. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to show you that.
Yeah.
And I don't care what it takes.
Yep.
I don't care what it takes. That's all mm-hmm. I'm going to show you from now mm-hmm. on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what you do with it, you're an adult.
Yeah.
And we're going to work with that. It's not eternal and other things.
Yep.
And so we just need to make sure that that's the case. And so Andrew and I made a decision, like, this is what we're going to focus on now. And when we come down, or I would make a trip down to Ball State when he's in school, I'm not going to talk mm-hmm. 1 second about this.
Yep. Yep.
He'll yep. get it from his counselors and yeah. advisors. And
yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to pour in that you are loved no matter what.
Mm, yep.
And life throws curves.
Mm-hmm.
This world is tough. The screen is tough.
Yeah.
What our kids are battling is not what we battled.
Mm-mm, yep.
It's not even close.
Mm-mm, yep.
And yep. it is not what we can't even imagine. And we can't perceive how they're receiving that. And it's even difficult for us to perceive how they're receiving us.
Yeah.
Right.
But they need to know what God's unconditional love is, because they're not told how God loves them
no.
in this world.
No, mm-hmm. they're told where they're falling short, where they're not.
They don't need
up.
Another person telling
yeah.
them
yeah.
that yeah. dad doesn't approve
right.
and that I'm not proud.
Right.
You've got to make that commitment. I mean, it's number one. And so that was probably one of the biggest ahas for us in decision. Like, let's just do this and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. And that has preserve relationship, repaired relationship? Like, how do you feel about it sitting yeah. here today?
You know, the goal was, if we don't, we will lose influence.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing you want to lose is the relationship and influence.
Yep.
If we think we have an idea of what can help and you don't have influence, well, that's no good.
Yeah.
Right.
yeah.
So I believe it has allowed us for him to have faith in us.
Yeah.
That we do have his best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we make an actual suggestion about something that's important instead of this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's open to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
And we'll work together as opposed to at each other.
There seems like there's this point, which hopefully I'll get there with my kids at the appropriate time. And I know Andy's, we've talked about this in the season he's in, where our role as parents shifts as our kids are getting older. We're hopefully becoming more of the friend counselor than the parent manager, overseer, mm-hmm. supervisory role. And I guess that's what I hear. That's what I hear you saying. Like, yeah. there's just like some things have to shift in order to maintain, you know, the best outcome.
Yeah. And, you know, you have to realize at an age, you're no more responsible for those
yeah.
areas.
Right.
Too late.
That's hard.
It's hard because you want to micromanage yeah. that still. And you've seen parents that will continue to try to, and doesn't work out. So you do have to decide, I'm going to stop micromanaging yeah. mm-hmm. that and doing that support. And it's hard because we're both controllers and,
yep. And
my kids would say, I'm not one of your employees.
oh, okay.
They didn't say that to me.
yeah. Yeah. But
it's so much words,
but you felt it maybe a few times. And there's a lot of conversation going on now. There's an article I'm just reading, a lot of research being done on children cutting their parents out of their life entirely. Mm. Like this, like as a cultural phenomenon going on right now, where it's I can't deal with you anymore, mom and dad. And we're going to act like there's kind of a divorce there, so to speak.
Yeah. I read, too, where kids, and this is what really pushed it for us, because yeah. we were in the same, like thinking the same thing, when kids either I'm moving away, I'm yep. doing this, they, yep. you know, they shocked the parents. But the trend was I'm divorcing you.
Yeah,
parents.
Right.
And we didn't want to be one of those
yep.
parents that get divorced.
Yep. Yeah.
Because we wouldn't listen to what they wanted to say how they wanted to, you know, let us know. And so that's a reality. I think they are. You can say you've been reading about it or heard about it. It is reality.
It's happening.
It is absolute reality. Yeah. That is happening.
Yeah.
That is what they're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're told. That's what they're hearing.
Yeah.
Sure.
The way to do something.
Yeah.
It's ouchy.
Yeah.
And you do want to avoid that.
So now, so as Dustin's getting, back on the saddle and doing what he loves. And I mean, the architecture piece for me, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. There's the very brainy, like studious, scholarly part of that, which makes total sense for him. And then also the creative, artistic,
absolutely,
and those two things coming together. And it's, by the way, for those of you outside of our Hoosier listening area, Ball State's architecture program is no joke.
No, it is the real deal.
No joke.
Take up your life.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's difficult. And he's, going through it, and he's doing great.
That's awesome.
Which is really cool.
So cool. Good.
So then your daughter.
Yeah.
Mariah.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Gosh.
You know, she's the tail. She's the one coming up last.
Yep. The only, the youngest and the only girl, marching again as youngest children do to the beat of a yet again, entirely different drummer.
Yeah.
When I met Mariah for the first time, this is one of the few, eighth grade students who came up immediately to me and introduced herself and said hello. And I was like, a lot of energy there, a lot of personality there, and love it all. Because we can talk about our boys all day long. And I'm realizing this now. I mean, my daughter's almost nine.
Oh, yeah.
The father to daughter relationship. Wow.
Yes. Yes.
How has it been different?
You know, I think it's funny because my wife would always tell me, well, you treat Mariah differently than you do the boys. And I'm like, yep, as I should. That's not going to work if I think it's going to be the same. And you don't treat any of your kids the same, but you know, oh, she gets away with more. I don't know that it was that. But that relationship, it's really great. It hasn't always been. It's a tough one that we work at. And I'm learning. And that's one of the things as parents, we have to dig in to read, to find out. You don't just know the importance of a father to a daughter. It's super key, and it is a tough road to travel, to not be overbearing but enough, and you're a good, you know, it is a tough one. I think of an experience we had when Mariah first wanted to date. She had a
Lord help us,
she had a young man, and she was of age now that we allowed it, and so I said, okay, we'll allow you on a date, but he needs to meet with me.
Yeah.
So we had a coffee.
All right.
I don't remember if he had coffee. But we talked about what my expectations were, and she hated.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to know if she really did. I always thought, oh yeah, she says that, but she really loves me about it. Yeah. I don't think she loved me at the time.
Yeah.
I was pretty hard on him. I mean, she's like, did you really tell him that if there's an active shooter, he has to get in front of me? I'm like, I told him he had to do what I do.
Now
that you say it that way, honey.
Yeah. Of all the hypothetical situations you could have posed to him, that was the active shooter situation. Got it. Okay.
So she was a little mad. I think she wanted to be the active shooter after I talked to her. But, you know, our daughters are precious. Mm-hmm. Our sons are precious, but our daughters are vulnerable in a world out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't shy away or feel a bit bad about telling a young man this isn't the place to do what you're thinking you're going to do.
Yeah.
Not with my daughter.
Yeah.
And here's the expectations that I and God have for you and how you're going to treat his daughter.
Yeah.
And it isn't going to be the way you're thinking. And I said, I know this book tells you think about sex every 3 seconds, and I know it's every second. The book is wrong. Yeah. She didn't like that one either, sure. I think.
Sure. Well, because, again, you know, the daughter is, let's just be clear, naive to a certain degree about the nature of the relationship, boy, about boys, right? And that's to be expected. And there can be this feeling of like, oh hey dad, you're imposing your beliefs or your preconceived ideas onto this person, and that is unfair, and that is unkind. And by the way, it's not super popular amongst, because inevitably I'm going to guess that Mariah had friends that were also dating boys who had not had that kind of conversation. Correct. Right?
Why do you make such a big deal?
So you're the weirdo. Yeah, you're the weirdo
of
now.
Of course.
Right, you're the weirdo. Are you still happy you're the weirdo?
I'm all right with it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm not changing.
Yeah.
I still think it's our duty as men to take it serious and not lightly,
yeah,
and not to forget,
yeah,
how it was. And it can hurt our daughters in a different way than what boys can be hurt. And so it's a tough world out there. And they don't quite know it yet sometimes at that age either. Yeah. And you don't want them to. You want them to
right.
enjoy life like right. we did for a long time, right. thinking mm-hmm. nothing could ever go wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, the world's great. And you want them to have that time of child development and yep. enjoyment without stress and anxiety and
innocence. I mean, innocence. There's a beauty to that. And that's a good God-given gift. But there does come a point. Oh my goodness, there does come a point.
Next time, I'll just remember to tell the boy, I don't want him to tell one word of this to Mariah. Yeah, that's right. That was my own ignorance.
You know what? Small caveat. Right. You and I, this is a yeah. conversation between you and I. You don't need to repeat any of it.
Or I'll be the active shooter.
go ahead.
I was just going to say, so she goes to college then, graduates college, comes back and says, hey, dad, what did she say to you there?
Well, we'll first start when she graduated high school, actually.
Okay.
This is probably the, and I don't think she'll mind me sharing this. We've had conversations about it.
If she does, she can write to us at dudesanddadspodcast@gmail.com and we'll talk it out.
Yeah.
Fine.
We'll invite her on the show.
Yeah, we'll invite her on the show.
Right. So Mariah went to Bethany, and she was going, had about three schools to decide from, and going to Virginia. We were like, man, 10 hours. Mm. Well, like we said, we've allowed our kids to choose the path they've wanted to take. And for the first time, mom and I kind of decided, okay, we might need to play the trump card here. So I remember being in the family room and we played that trump card. Mariah's a sweet girl, but she was not that sweet that night. Mm-hmm. We had a really growing moment, but a really hard moment for us. I knew that the paths that we take, some bring us closer and some take us further.
Yeah.
I just wasn't ready to be further.
Mm. Yeah.
Probably selfish on my part and on Angela's maybe too. And maybe over worried. We go down that path in our brains and bring out the worst. Mm. And so that was really hard on our relationship as his mom and dad and Mariah. And we just had never had anything quite like that.
Yeah.
And I think it was hard for her too. So going to college, kind of had a flavor. It wasn't quite as sweet as we would have probably wished and hoped.
Cause you guys were not on board with her college choice.
Well, not going that far. And we wanted her closer, and we really wanted her. We wanted one of our kids to go to our alma mater. Sure. We graduated from Huntington and it worked out. And at least get a little discount for alumni discount.
That's right.
One of them.
That's right. I worked hard for this. Right.
So our paths are just, we're afraid we're going to get a little far.
Mm-hmm.
And so about her junior year of college, she asked me if I would help her find an old van that when she graduates, she wants to go in it, and she wants me and her to fix it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what happened between there and there, but she still loved me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was as honored as I've ever been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So what you got this, you got this great chance, great opportunity to just spend a bunch of time with your daughter working on this van.
And you did, I mean, you did work to
we
this
did
thing,
work.
Joel.
We had no idea what we were doing. None of us had done anything.
But you're learning,
you're okay, learning together.
You're learning together now, right?
Yeah.
Like this is,
totally.
This is an interesting, like, it's kind of, it's the relationship dynamic is shifting here because it's not like knowledgeable father and unknowledgeable daughter. It's two novices coming together on something.
Yes. I like to think I can figure things out, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everything from, cause Mariah has posted photos of this, this process. Now I'm remembering you, correct me if I'm wrong, basically gutted the inside. What is it was a converted van
and we, against my will, gutted the whole thing.
Yes.
I said, let's leave this and this. And,
yeah.
She's like, it's all down to the middle.
Man.
And then you're doing insulation in it. That's the part that I, this may be in my mind.
That's the part that cannot get out of my mind.
There we go.
I went home after I let her spray insulate the van. And I told my wife that was the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Wow.
And I realized when she posted the video that I was facing the camera and my face tells lots of things. I always forget the cameras are on and she puts everything in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was like, oh no, because that she doesn't listen and she has her own mind a little bit like her dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a very, she created the video of that one.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she called me, I got to call you, Dad.
Yeah.
Cause I just have to say, I watched the video making it. You were the most patient person.
Aww.
I was horrible. I would literally tell her, no, we don't want to fill that cavity because it's going to, she fill it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now there's another one we don't want to fill it.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was quite experience. And she videoed everything, you know, and, and I always forget. So no matter what I said or what I did, farting, and she'd put it on. I'm like, there's a rule here. You can't put farting on. She has no rules. And I have my favorite pair of shorts that happened, I guess. I never see myself from the back, but it does show maybe the left cheek or something. And now I'm blurred out wherever I go. And so I can no longer wear my favorite shorts to work on the van.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Yeah. But I was super honored that she wanted to do this. And I'm telling you, we were in a transition at work. We merged a couple of companies. Mm-hmm. I was swamped.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I didn't have time.
Yeah.
But I just kept telling Angela, I have to make time. Mm-hmm. And it hurt.
Yeah.
We did. And I'm so glad I did.
Yeah.
Ended up Bryce right at the end, moved back at the end, and he really helped up wrapping some things up.
He
has some skills. Come on, boy. So that was super helpful. We sent her off after she got it done.
And what's the goal for, I mean, there's some sort of like, is this just a wanderlust of, I want to go and travel the country? I mean, cause she's been all over and we'll get a chance to share her people can see, cause she's made a vlog essentially and share the kind of journeys. Was the idea just to travel and to see all that she could see? Was there kind of another point to this, or was like, I'm just going to go?
You know, she had the opportunity to do a lot of hiking in the mountains in Harrisonburg.
Mm.
And she really wanted to see the world, the West, the United States, and do a lot of hiking. So this van was more of allowing her to kind of get around from state park to state park and stop and see family or friends in between.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the like gist of the idea of how this was going to go, as opposed to just wander.
Mm-hmm.
She really, you know, park pass and those things. And she's doing lots of hiking. She just enjoys being in the wilderness and hiking. And then, which I didn't know she was doing until I actually got to spend some time with her out there. She would often, she's artistic as well, would stop on the trail every time or every day, every hike she had, and draw. and a way to connect and find who God is in her life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least that's what we're praying anyhow.
Yeah. Yeah.
See God in a bigger way.
Yeah.
I think that's what she, you know, growth, understanding that growth can happen from that. But yeah. Just, I'll never get another chance to be free.
Yeah.
But also do what she loves. And that's really hiking. So that's kind of the instigator of that.
Yep.
And then allowing to go, and she's social. She likes to see people. She got to be with family that she spent more time now with my uncle than I ever had.
Yeah.
And so some of those cool things that have happened because of her van and because of her trip that she decided to do.
So roughly speaking, where has she visited? Like all around the West? And
yeah, well, she started in the East and went to Alabama, and then, you know, well, she was another time just down in Florida, and then across the lower state, Louisiana and North Dakota. Well, not North Dakota. She didn't go that far. But all around the South and West, visiting in Arizona to New Mexico, Oklahoma, and just a bunch of states and a bunch of people. And
she's had a few breakdowns.
Utah. Yes.
There's been a few things have not gone as planned.
You know, we bought an old van, and that's going to be part of the education, I figured.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it's actually done pretty good here. She's hung in there, but we've had I guess it's now a known thing. I didn't realize that, but spark plugs shoot out of Fords and it sure did it.
Exciting.
In a terrible spot in a 2 foot of snow in Colorado, but she happened to have a friend with her at that time, which was kind of nice.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother story. That's a way long story, but it was good.
Yeah.
She had, some wheel bearings pouring out. So it's like, how long have you been hearing that? No, just turn the radio up.
Yeah. I haven't heard it.
So there's some things that she's learned now to listen to the heartbeat of her car.
Sure.
Which is good.
Yeah. That's like adulting. That's future adulting skills. That's good.
She's been, she hasn't got to California and Washington and Oregon. She wants to do that yet.
So she occasionally returns to base camp back here.
Christmas. She was here.
That's good.
And
how has she been financing this trip, Joel? How is it? You know what? All these parents are listening right now and they're like, that sounds fantastic. How in the world is this? How is
it possible?
Yeah. How is it possible?
She's pretty smart. She had a budget in that sophomore year or junior year of college when she talked to me on her van, and she stayed within it, even though I pushed her on a few, you got to spend here. But she stayed within her budget. She's worked pretty hard. She's a good waitress and they get some tips and she gets the hours in at work.
Yep.
And so she's kind of mapped everything out, what she needs. And then she lives on a dime other than the fuel.
Yeah.
I mean, she lives on a dime. And then of course, at one point halfway through her trip, she's down in Florida, as I told you. And my brother offers her a job if she'll stay for a month.
Okay.
And I'm like, Jeff, do you realize you're extending her time out by giving her money?
Jeff.
Send it to me.
Jeff's a wise, he's a smart businessman. He knows he got the talent nearby. Let's get Mariah on lockdown.
Well, knows it's seasoned down there. Yeah, she's making bank.
That's right. That's good. Yeah.
8 hour shift and bringing it home.
What, from your perspective, what has changed about Mariah because of this experience?
Yeah. That's a really good question. And you know, one she could answer. I've seen some certain changes. You know, when you're by yourself and you haven't been and everything depends on you, you have to make decisions. Mm-hmm. If you don't get anything done.
Yeah.
And so decisions and planning, because if you don't plan.
Yeah.
And for Mariah, she had to plan where she went to the bathroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So getting up in the morning isn't just as easy as it is for you and I.
Yeah.
And I crack up because some of her decisions, as we were talking, you know, I had to decide whether I'd make coffee or not because it depends on
That's right. Yeah.
Where I'm at.
Yeah. Right.
I love a coffee in the morning, but So her ability to critically think as an individual, to figure out, utilize the people or that are around you to get what you need to have. It's just a difference. And then her being alone, you're alone with your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You're alone with who you are. And she has figured out her strengths, figured out what she's good at, figured out what the world tells you you're not good at, but what she really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hearing God's voice over everything else and recognizing she has really recognized the voices around her and what they say, and that it's not always truth.
Yeah.
So I think her ability to decipher truth is probably a much sharper even than college. I mean, college, you get any college you go to, you're kind of told.
Sure. Right.
You're getting educated, so you have to suck in whatever it is they're putting out, no matter what university you go to.
Yep.
It's not always about digging deep about what's truth and how it fits in your life, what you're good at, how you fit in. And so other than that, and learning, of course, you know, how to get your oil changed and where the spark plugs are.
Yeah.
And the dipstick.
Yeah.
She certainly learned a lot. And, you know, she could tell you a lot more. Yeah. I haven't even downloaded, although I did get to spend a week with her. She was in Zion.
Yeah.
And
I
called her and I said, stay.
Mm-hmm.
She said, what? I said, I can get a ticket tomorrow. And I can be there.
Yeah.
And so I flew from South Bend to Vegas.
Yes.
The next day.
Yes.
I did told work, sorry.
Yep.
I'm leaving.
Yep.
And got there on a Sunday. I drove 2 hours to her. So I could fly into Vegas. It was 2 hours from where she was. And we spent the next Sunday hiking.
That's
what
awesome.
She loves.
That's awesome.
It was cool. She let me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm honored.
Yeah.
When she first left, I said, I want to join you. And it's, you're not invited.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And she had a plan.
Yeah. And she had to do it on her own.
Yep.
She had to do it. But apparently she feels like she's accomplished some of the things because now you're invited. You're invited in.
Well, I wasn't invited, but she did say yes.
She allowed
invited
you.
Myself.
Sure. Yeah. She didn't
she
allowed yourself invitation.
She didn't leave.
That's right.
She wanted a shower. Let's be serious.
That's good. So Joel, I think you've just so well described, and I love it. And because I know your family well enough, I think you've so well described just the beautiful, idiosyncratic, unique, and nature of your kids and your family. When you look at all of it, I've really heard you say, and I think this is isn't cliche, but we hear it so often, but it is the deep truth, the truth of letting your kids know how deeply loved they are and letting them know, because that's the path back to relationship. Even as things change, I think about my own parents, and it's like, my parents both came from, my dad was not a believer younger, came into belief in I always feel like I'm hating on the Baptist, but very, very conservative, very, very conservative, Christian circles. And my mom grew up in, fundamentalist Bible church, and they came out of that and they were like, we cannot let rules control. They need to know the love of God. They need to know how we love them. We can't let rules control their life. And yet there's been certain times I've heard where you're like, oh man, I'd like a few rules to hop in here. Right. That challenge. But at the end of the day, is it the love of God, them knowing the love of God because I kind of just hear you saying that that's sort of cemented the bridge in your guys's relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And part of that, you just have to learn. It's such a hard transition when you're the knowledge, you know what's best, and you need to make those decisions, and you continually are doing that, and then shifting to the biggest thing is you shift from telling them to listening.
Yeah.
You have to hear them. And that shift from telling to listening is your influence.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to lose your influence.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't stop and listen to them, you got to hear where they're at.
Yeah.
You can't assume you know, and it's not where you think.
Yeah.
It's not. Because we get so focused on that. And if we don't take the time to listen and hear, because the perception is different, their world's going to be different. Our world was different than our parents'.
Yeah.
And if you don't take the time to find that out and care enough to swallow your pride and say, I'm not going to even mention anything in this conversation. I'm going to only ask questions and I'm going to find out what they really are at, where they're at, and where we could be a help if we can, and what they need from you, we need from us, as opposed to what I think they need.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's really difficult.
Well, beautiful. Joel, you have been a wealth of knowledge here.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Such a helpful conversation.
I really appreciate it.
I'm tucking so many things away here and got me.
I've hit the marker on our recorder several times.
So, there'll be lots of good, memorable clips. But obviously, we cannot let anyone leave this show before.
And now it's time for the Dudes and Dads Pop Quiz.
Fantastic. Joel, this is where we ask you random questions you can't prepare for. Oh, we almost can't prepare for. Oh, it doesn't really even have anything to do with anything. It's what comes to us. So we're gonna give it a shot. Well, Andy, you can do a couple. I'll do a couple. We'll see what happens.
All right. Perfect. Okay. Sounds good.
Sounds scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to go easy on you, Joel.
Thank you.
Right first.
we're going to get warmed up.
When you think about going out for dinner, where's one place that you're going to go?
Oh, I love Mexican.
Okay. Ooh, nice.
Almost any Mexican, which I had for lunch.
Okay.
We had what we call the Ponderosa Mexican.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. El Rancho Viejo. Right.
Where it used to be the Ponderosa.
I'm glad you're, just so you know, you're not the only people that call it that. And the moment you said Ponderosa Mexican, I knew exactly what you're talking about. It's a good answer. Question number two, Joel, apart from the Bible, we'll say that. Favorite book you've ever read?
Purpose-Driven Life.
Okay.
It is not about you.
There we go.
You get that.
There we go.
You're way ahead of the game.
There we go. Okay.
All right. Add that to our list.
Add it to the list. All right.
Over the years, I know you've had, you're wearing a shirt right now about cruising. So you love cars.
Yes.
What's been your favorite car that you've owned?
Oh, you know, I probably would have said I have a 87 Camaro that I got when I was 17 and, dated my wife, maybe a couple other ladies.
With a car like that, it makes sense. I get it.
Took care of it. So I've kept it all this time. I've had it, but recently I get myself a little birthday present, years back, and it's another Camaro, but it's a 2010, but it's a super sport.
Oh, yes.
That seems to be more fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it. Maybe it's the SS.
Yeah. Probably.
That is probably, that would be my favorite. Like, you can take all my others, but just give me that one.
Yeah. That's good. Joel, I'm going to see, Andy uses this one every once in a while. Joel, there were to be a restaurant that named a sandwich after you, the Joel Miller special, what's going to be on that sandwich? What are we looking at?
Well, we'll probably start out with a burger. Of course, it's got to be cheese.
Yep.
I like a little cheese with spice. But you know, I actually like pulled pork.
Oh,
as chunky barbecue sauce, basically.
Oh. Gotcha. Okay.
And then grilled onions. And I'll even take a little Chipotle spice.
Oh, okay.
So
Chipotle Joel
is required.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. I'm going to order the Joel Miller next time.
We're going to Joel Miller. I'm sold.
Barbecue pulled pork.
Well, congratulations, Joel. You have successfully passed the Dudes and Dads Pop Quiz with flying colors. And brother, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you guys. It's an honor.
Oh man. That's so cool.
I hope I told you what not to do.
We've tucked away so many, a lot of wealth and knowledge, but Well, hey everybody. As always, if you want to get a hold of us, you can do so over at dudesandadspodcast@gmail.com with all of your future show suggestions, your harsh critiques,
send those to me
or recipes,
burger ideas.
And we should share, we'll share Mariah's, her vlog info. If you want to follow along and see the crazy fun in the old conversion van. And so it's worth a look. What else, Andy?
If you want to call our voicemail number, 574-501-4467, we love to hear your feedback.
We do. We love it all. obviously can head over to dudesanddads.com for all past episodes and current episodes, show notes,
future episodes,
merchandise, all the good stuff. Glad to send you that way. And as always, we want to thank Scott Allen for our theme music, keeping it jazzy. Just saw a clip of him over the Elkhart Jazz Festival. Nice. doing his work, man. So smooth, so good. But hey, guys, thanks for hanging out with us. And until next time, we wish you grace
and peace.